So how does gender play into the challenges facing the communities, your communities, and the people that you work with?
Well,
one step at a time.
One step at a time. I know, it's like, where do you start, right? So I think coming from my, like, speaking of the personal experience of being a woman of color and seeing what that is, women of color bear the brunt of disasters. We bear the brunt of state-inflicted disasters and everything that happened. And by the way, they blew those levees. Can I just say that? Like, it's not when Hurricane Katrina hit. It's when those levees failed. And whether they were blown because they actually dynamited them or whether it's because they didn't actually build them right, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't a natural disaster. This is a state-enforced disaster. The government did this, and we are bearing the brunt of this in our daily lives. I mean, if you look at just national statistics around things that aren't even related to Katrina, women of color, black women in particular, were the highest-growing prison population, were the highest-growing population of people with AIDS and getting infected with the HIV virus. So these disasters that are created, like, we're at that intersection of sexism and racism, and this perspective is oftentimes, like, ignored or separated. You know, like, you walk into one area and you're a woman, and then you walk over here and you're black, and somehow never the twain shall meet. And so what we do, it's the lack of gender analysis is particularly problematic in the organizing work that we do in terms of, like, trying to transform society into a way that we want to live our lives, because we need this perspective and we need these strategies to develop community accountability strategies for a functional stateless society, right? So we're going out there and we need to be able to see, like, well, why do we get affected like this? Why are we the highest rising HIV population? What does happen when Katrina comes through, wipes down people's houses, and then women bear the brunt of the violence, with domestic violence and then also state violence, right? People are living in these cramped, tiny little FEMA trailers, right? They're not even trailer. They're like a weekend camper.
It's
a, I know a trash can when I see one. And they're just like, they're tiny, and people, and we know that domestic violence goes up after disasters. No services have actually been put in place to help save any, to change this or alleviate any of these conditions. Our visibility of our experience is pretty much, outside of seeing, you know, women crying, you don't really see, you know what I mean? It's like this, like, symbolic imagery that you have out there, where it's like black women are loved in theory but not in practice. Because when you get up there and you say, like, you know, you want to, they want people to be seen as a symbol as being disempowered and disenfranchised and the most disenfranchised person that you can find, and they'll work on your behalf, but when you say what you need, it doesn't matter. No one wants to listen to you. Like, with the Insight Clinic, all of our money, like 90% of our money and our funding, has come from individual donors, of people who support us. Foundations, not into it. Nonprofits, not into it. Yet we're the ones that are saying, this is what we need and this is what we want to do, which is what all of you have been asking, not all of you per se, all of that you, right? So this is what they've all been asking of us, and when we finally say it, we're ignored. And the money goes to, like, Northern Louisiana. I know that they probably need it, they're broke, but this is Katrina money raised specifically on our behalf. And so that kind of went all over the place, but that's where I can see it.
Well, gender. Two things I'd like to bring up, just as far as how gender plays a role. The United Nations has guidelines for internally displaced peoples. These guidelines were drafted. The U.S. was involved. All the delegates signed the copy. In the guidelines, which I would urge all of you to please research and hold the government accountable for standing by these guidelines, it says that women should be at the forefront of all recovery efforts. With that said, there's a certain understanding that women know how to bring things back together. You know, it can be, you can relate it through the psychological world, whatever world you want to, with the boys knocking the blocks down and the girls building them up. These are just, these are instincts, you know, if that's the way you want to go with it. But women, it's just, it's not even a question. If there's something that's broken, we naturally want to fix it. Most human beings do, but women just have a knack for doing that. I'd like to quote Cece before I left California, because I asked her this question. Cece's also, she's a co-founder of Survivors for Survivors. She said, well, the men are doing all the traveling, the speaking tours, they're signing the papers to get the money for the 501c3, they're going to the meetings, they're carrying the briefcases, while the women are doing the detail work and setting up the connections and making the plane arrangements and the hotel arrangements and making sure everything is set up, yet they don't get the credit. No one's going to give them the credit, and women usually don't take the credit, you know, say, I want to be awarded for this. But it's probably high time we start, because in my opinion, that's the only way it's going to get done. No one's going to turn around and say, oh, okay, here you go. I'm going to give you the credit because I realized this happened. No, we're in a power struggle here.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Survivors for Survivors is the only, to my knowledge, female-led survivor organization. I'm not sure. All female?
Yeah, we're all female.
All right. Well,
we're all survivors.
Two. Two that I know of. You know, I didn't even know because I'm not in New Orleans right now. But and before I left, I was going to be on that.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. But it's one of the only female-led organizations. And when we've reached out to the other organizations, such as in New Orleans, who are led by men, for assistance and aid and some of the funding, the millions of dollars in funding that they were receiving in their budget, there was no reply. No reply. Yet, we'd still be sourced for information or contacts or get a ring on the phone from the same individuals saying this, that, or the other. So that's the state of affairs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next.
It's all serious in here, though. Kind of like
what we're getting into.